Good morning. It is most wonderful to see everyone that is present this morning. We thank you so much for coming out and joining with us as we study from the Word of God. Y'all may not be hot, but it's hotter up here than it is down there. I can promise you that. I don't know if there's a vent close by or... But we thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you coming out and joining with us. We encourage you to open up your Bibles and to study along with us. Our desire is to do things in a way that is pleasing in the sight of God. We have that desire. We do not desire to be pleasing in the sight of man, but in the sight of God. And we pray that you will study with us and look into these things. And if you find the things that we teach to be truth, we encourage you to obey them. If you find them to be false, we encourage you to discuss these things with us, so that we can come to a better understanding of the Word of God. As was mentioned in our announcements, we're working through the process of trying to select men to be appointed as elders of this local congregation so we can be fully organized in accordance with the Scriptures. We have received a number of the papers already, but there are still several that we haven't received, and we would just like to encourage you that, and we're not trying to hurry you in any way, but if you have forgotten or something, be sure and get that and pass it in to either myself or to Brother Donnie, so we can work towards that and hopefully we'll have the opportunity to appoint elders in the congregation here and to have a setup in this congregation that it hasn't had in a long time, to be, as I said, scripturally organized. And that can be a wonderful blessing to a congregation when you appoint men that are truly qualified as the Scriptures have set forth. And again, if you want to study further on the qualifications, we can have the CDs made of the lessons that I presented. I'm more than willing to sit down and discuss these things with you. And if you have questions for either of the men, Brother Harold or Brother Chuck, they will be more than happy to sit down and to discuss any questions that you might have with them as to their qualifications to be an elder. As Dan revealed in our Bible reading when he laid his Bible up here and opened up the page there, our lesson is how to be useless and miserable. You know, when you look at the world that we live in today, it's full of people who are useless and miserable. You go to work, and I guarantee you, every one of you who works a regular job knows someone in that job that is useless. And usually if they're useless, they're pretty miserable. It's always just this constant diatribe of bad feelings and just hurt emotions, and it's like we're living amongst a bunch of Charlie Browns. You remember the song from way back when, you know, way back before my time period, but I grew up listening to my mom and dad's records, and why is everybody always picking on me? Why is everything always happening to me? And, you know, we live in the day of Facebook where everyone is able to go in and just begin to complain about everything that's wrong in their life and everything that isn't happening the way that they think it should. And they waste their days there on Facebook or other places and just complaining about how things are and never really focusing on the good. If you would look in the book of Psalms there in the 34th Psalm, turn over to Psalm 34 and let's begin reading there in verse 12. In Psalm 34, let's begin reading in verse 11. The psalmist writes to us, he says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth." It's interesting, as we go throughout the New Testament, Peter quotes from this there in one of his epistles, writing of who is the one who desires life and loves length of days. And as we see here, it's someone who has a positive outlook on life, someone who is focused on their service to God, someone who's not caught up in all the negativity of the world. But yet, as I mentioned, many in this world today seem to have lost their desire for life. They go about in groaning and complaining and depression, and they really fail to look towards the positive sides of life. And as we look at the way that a Christian is to be, that is not to be the life of a Christian. And yet, we find even amongst those who claim to be members of the Lord's church that they constantly have this depressed outlook on life. So how do we become useless and miserable? I'm sure most preachers will look at this and go, well, how not to be useless and miserable. But, you know, it really helps to look at the symptoms of things and how we can reach these particular ways. And the first thing we want to note is just be self-centered. I mean, really, isn't that the world that we live in today? We live in a very self-centered world. What was it? Toby Keith had a song several years ago. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I. I want to talk about number one. I can't believe I'm quoting a country music song. I actually kind of like Toby Keith just a little bit. But, you know, that's the thing. You know, we want to talk about ourselves. And again, Facebook is just that place where everyone gets to talk about everything that they want to talk about. And it's all about me. And we get caught up, why aren't people commenting on our statuses? Why aren't people commenting on our pictures? Why aren't anybody paying attention? Why does this person have more friends than I have? And I was reading an article here recently how they were discussing how Facebook was destroying people's lives. I'm like, no. Facebook has absolutely nothing at all to do with that. But you see, that's the thing. We're always looking for some excuse, some reason as to why our life is the way that it is. And we never want to look at our own lives and accept these things. So we become very self-centered. We want everyone to focus on us. We want our attention. You know, we come from Robin Williams, Jim Carrey have made a living off of getting people to focus their attention, being the most outrageous person. I'll throw Will Ferrell out there as well. He's another one that loves. There's another comedian, Nathan Marshall, that loves to have to be the center of attention. Others go into the preaching field, I guess, so that they can have attention directed at them because they're the youngest of four kids and they were always shoved off to the side, they felt. I don't know, maybe that's a little bit of, maybe I'm having a little breakthrough here. But we want attention. We desire attention. We want others to recognize us for what we've done. We want that recognition. You know, in the movie and music world, there's a statue for everything, isn't there? And they've even gone to the worst of everything. They'll even give you a statue if you're the worst of everything. Because everybody wants to receive attention. If you look over in Luke chapter 15, we see someone who was starving for attention there. In Luke chapter 15, we oftentimes focus on the earlier part of this particular parable with the young man who goes to his father and says, look, I want my inheritance. And his father, for whatever reason, indulges him, gives him his inheritance. The young man goes off and just blows it all and comes back and begs to be returned as a servant, not even as a son. But it's not him that we want to focus on right now. Look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 15, and let's note there in, I believe, in verse 29. And here we find the older son has realized what's going on. And, hey, what's this party going on? Well, your little brother's come back and your father's killed the fattened calf. And he's invited everybody in to rejoice that his son that was dead is now alive. And in verse 29, after his father comes out and tries to get him to come in, he says, look, for so many years I've been serving you. I've never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. Now, let's just pause for a moment and let's think about what's going on. This gentleman's brother has been missing forever how long. We don't know exactly the length of time. He received apparently a pretty good inheritance, so it could have lasted for a little while. But as we grow older, we realize no matter how much money there is, it doesn't last very long. When we're kids, we think, oh, that dollar is a lot of money. And if I had $100, it lasts forever. And then we find out $100 just doesn't even cover some of the basic necessities of life. His brother has been missing and has come back. And there's no joy in his life in the fact that his brother has returned. In fact, we see this kind of attitude toward his father. Well, I've been here this whole time. I've served you faithfully. You never even gave me a goat to have a party with my friends. What's up with that? What are you doing for me? I've always been here for you. And you know, we see that attitude in Christians sometimes, don't we? When someone has gone away, has left the church, they've gone off and lived in various sinful conditions and just turned their back on God and then they come back and they come forward and they confess the sin that is in their life, they confess the desire to return in faithfulness to God, and you see them sitting in the pews. I've been here every service. No one's ever come up to me and given me a hug saying, hey, look how great I am. But we catch ourselves acting that way sometimes. We're just like that older brother. Look at how long I've served you, God, and no one's coming up to me and going, well, we're really thankful that you've never left the Lord. When in actuality, with that attitude, we're leaving the Lord right then. Someone who is self-centered is no help for anyone except themselves. A Christian, we find, is to be the exact opposite of this. Look with me, if you would, in Acts chapter 20. As Paul is instructing the Ephesian elders, in Acts chapter 20, there in verse 35, he's gathered them together. This is the last time he's going to be able to speak to them and to encourage them. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 35, look at the example that the Apostle Paul set, and he encouraged them to set as well. Let's go ahead and begin in verse 33. I've coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands minister to my own needs and to the men who are with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But that's not the way we are, is it? We like gifts. We want more. We want more than we had the last time. We want bigger. We want better. We're never satisfied. Well, you gave me a ring with two diamonds in it last time. I want a ring with four diamonds in it this time. We get caught up in certain things. Well, you bought me this the last time. Well, I want something bigger and better this time. But Jesus taught us better to give than it is to receive. It's better to help others than to sit around waiting for someone to come and help you. You see, the problem with being self-centered is it moves us away from being the Christian that we should be. Look with me, if you would, in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, let's begin reading there in verse 3. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Christians there in Philippi, he says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. You hear what he's saying there? Regard one another as more important than yourselves. They mean more than you do. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude, what attitude? Of putting others before you, of thinking more highly of them than you do of yourself. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. What did Jesus do the night that he was going to be betrayed? When he sat down with the disciples there and they were eating the Passover, what did he do? Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, deity, God on earth, went and kneeled down before each of the disciples and washed their feet. What did Jesus do there on the cross? He humbled himself. He took our position. We deserve from our sins to die that death on the cross, and yet he humbly submitted himself. That's what Paul is saying. The attitude that Christ had and that he was willing to give himself for others, that's the same attitude we need to have. We need to quit being self-centered. Go back in the previous chapter. Later in that same chapter. I'm sorry. Go on down to verse 19. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. Know what he says in verse 20. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Think about what Paul is saying about all those who have been traveling with him and those that he was surrounded by at this point in time. He says, I'm sending Timothy because I got no one else who really cares about others. That was the state of some of those that were surrounding Paul. Continue reading there. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go in me. Timothy was definitely not self-centered. Jesus had the attitude that we need to have in our own life of turning our attention towards others. In Mark chapter 6, we see there in verse 34 that when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them and began to preach to them. Paul warned that in the latter days, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, then pursued, in those last days, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. We need to make sure that we're not self-centered, because that makes us useless in the kingdom of God and miserable in our own life. Another way to be useless and miserable is to be demanding of others. To look around and to see what others need to be doing. To lay out certain requirements for them that we wouldn't bind on ourselves. Oftentimes we have higher standards of others than we do of our own selves, don't we? You know, as we've been talking about the eldership and appointing men into the to be in the office of an elder, and one of the things I brought out is that elders, like preachers, live in glass houses. Their lives are under a closer microscope of inspection than anyone else. And you know, that's wrong. We should not be that way, but we hold them to a separate standard. We hold them to a standard above and beyond what the Scripture set forth. Well, an elder shouldn't be doing that. Well, does it say in the Scriptures that they shouldn't be? No, but an elder shouldn't be doing that. Well, if you think an elder should be doing that, don't you think maybe you ought not be doing that? But you see, we hold others to a higher standard. We demand more of others. We'll give ourselves a pass. Well, I was tired, and that's why I did this. But so-and-so should not have done that. In Romans chapter 12, there in verse 3, as the Apostle Paul is writing this epistle to the Christians there in Rome, he says in verse 3, he says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." Treat others the way that you want to be treated. If you don't want to be held to a higher standard of judgment, don't hold others to that high standard of judgment. If you want others to be long-suffering and patient with you, then you need to be long-suffering and patient with them. If you want others to be forgiving of you, you need to be willing to forgive others. But too many of us are like the Pharisees who bind grievous burdens, but they themselves will not lift it with just one pinky. Jesus taught a parable that illustrates this perfectly. If you look over in Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, we have this parable of these slaves that owed their master a large sum of money. This slave owed his master really an unrepayable debt. And the master was calling it into account. He says, "All right, it's time for you to pay up." And he says, "I can't. Give me time. Have patience with me. And I'll repay you everything." And it's interesting. We see that the master completely and totally forgave the debt. Essentially, in our day and time, this is millions of dollars that he owes. And the master says, "That's it. Don't worry about it." And then as we continue reading this particular parable, we see this very same one who had been forgiven this great amount. He goes out and finds a fellow servant that owes him just a small amount. He says, "Pay up." The fellow servant says, "I can't. Be patient with me and I'll repay you everything." And he turns him over to the prison and has everything he sold to pay that debt. And the other servants go to the master and say, "You're not going to believe what this guy did." The master was very unpleased, because he had forgiven this great amount, but he couldn't forgive just a little bit. And I'm afraid sometimes we don't realize how much we have been forgiven by God, and we're unwilling to extend that same level of forgiveness to others. We expect God to forgive us of everything, but no, I cannot forgive them of that. I can't let go of that. We need to truly humble ourselves. If you look in Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, let's begin reading in verse 25. Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus was that perfect example of humbling and not being more demanding of others than He was of Himself. Finally, this morning, let's note that one way to be useless and miserable is to feel neglected, to feel left out. Sometimes it seems no matter what we do, no one pays any attention. We put forth a good hard day's work and we get our job done and at the end of the day we're getting ready to go home and we're just like, why doesn't anybody ever notice? We do something for others and you know, they always mention brother and sister so-and-so that does stuff. They never mention anything that I do. I do stuff too. Why don't they ever pay any attention to me? We feel neglected. Why doesn't everybody note all the good things that I do? We feel like we're doing so much and no one notices or cares. Go back to the book of Luke again and note there the attitude of that older brother. His younger brother has been gone and could have been dead, but he returns. And what's the attitude that he has? In Luke chapter 15, verse 29, again, look, for so many years I've been serving you. I've never neglected a command that you've given me. Look at what he's saying. He's saying, Dad, I've given you perfect service. Where's my banquet? Where's my time to celebrate with my friends how great a son I am? What have you done for me? And later we see that the father says, look, everything I have is yours. There's nothing left in this inheritance for your brother. He's already used up everything that was his. Everything is yours. But he wanted his now, just like the younger brother did. Think about that. We give the younger brother a hard time because he came to his father and he said, look, I want my inheritance now. But isn't that exactly what the older brother is doing? He's saying, I want the recognition that I deserve now. Not when you die and I receive everything that's rightfully mine. I want my recognition now. We oftentimes feel neglected in our lives. Perhaps we feel that everyone has turned their back on us, that others, we get busy sometimes, don't we? And we get caught up in our own lives. We don't necessarily mean to, but other people have problems too, don't they? No one. I mean, we look at some families and go, oh, they don't have any problems. Their life is just wonderful. They've got a great income. They live in a beautiful house. They drive nice cars. They never argue. They never fight. They've got everything that you could ever want. We don't know the problems that are in other people's lives, do we? We know our problems. Why isn't anyone paying attention to my problems? What about me? What about I need? We begin to feel that others are turning their back on us. The Apostle Paul truthfully understood this. If you would turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy and focus on what the Apostle Paul is saying. This is one of the last things that the Apostle Paul wrote. Paul is writing this as he's in his second imprisonment. This is the imprisonment before he's going to die. Okay, keep that in mind. He's already been in prison. He's been released and he's gone back into prison. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's begin reading there in verse 16, he says that my first defense, no one supported me. All deserted me. Now you just stop and put yourself in the position of the Apostle Paul. As Saul of Tarsus, he was a horrible individual who did all that he could to persecute members of the church. When he obeyed the gospel, his life made a huge change in direction. And he spent the rest of his days going out preaching and teaching the gospel. In fact, from what we have recorded in the scriptures, he did more in the spread of the gospel than all the other apostles put together. He traveled further. He endured more than all the other apostles that we have recorded. Stonings, beatings, imprisonments. Hatred from his own brethren. He had traveled further than anyone else. Here he is at the end of his life. Everyone's deserted him. Paul's on trial. No one shows up and says, "Look, Paul, we're here for you. There's not much that we can do, but we're here for you. We're praying for you." You remember the Apostle Peter? Go back into the book of Acts. And you remember when James was beheaded by Herod, and Herod saw that it made the Jews happy, so he went and gathered up Peter and said, "Look, let's do the same thing with him." Herods were always trying to find ways to become more endearing to the Jews, because there was this hatred, because Herod was actually an Edomite, and the fact that an Edomite was ruling over the Jews was bad. Peter's in prison. What do we find the disciples doing while Peter's in prison? They're all gathered together there in the house of John Mark's mother, praying for him. Paul's in prison. Paul says, "Everyone forsook me." But let's read that next verse, because Paul was not alone. It says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth." Even when he had the right to feel absolutely neglected by his brethren, Paul still realized that the one that mattered was there. We forget that sometimes. We feel all alone. We feel like the whole world has turned its back on us. We've got no one there. No one cares about us. No one is aware of what we're suffering. We just sit around in a pity party. Woe is me. Why isn't anyone calling me? Why isn't anyone showing concern for me? Why isn't anyone coming and offering to help me? I'm in no way trying to say that we as brothers and sisters in Christ shouldn't show a level of concern for one another, and that we shouldn't strive to be there for one another, and we shouldn't be like those disciples that forsook Paul. We should strive to be there for one another. We also need to remember that others have their own circumstances that they go through. But we need to know that as long as we're striving to serve the Lord, as long as we're faithful to His will, we are never alone. God never neglects us. Go back and look again there in the parable of the two sons. Remember, as that son left, what do we see the father doing? Every day he's out there looking, scanning the horizon. Where's my son? Where's my son? He's always waiting. That son had turned his back on him, but that father was waiting. And as soon as he saw the son, he ran out to him. God is the same with us. Are you miserable in this life? Then turn your life over to God. Only in God can we find true joy. Yes, we can find joy in various things that the world offers to us today. But only in God can we really find a purpose in our life. A purpose that will last throughout all of our lives. Something that can help us in everything that we do. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and the opportunity is afforded to you today to come forward and confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of your sins, and be buried in baptism. Perhaps you're here and you've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you've allowed yourself to become miserable again. You've allowed yourself to become useless in the Lord's kingdom because you've been focused on yourself. You've been more demanding of others and judging them more harshly than you judge yourself. Perhaps you've grown bitter towards your brothers and sisters in Christ because you feel neglected. You need to be reminded that God is there with you. In the most difficult of times, He's there. You remember everybody's probably read that poem, Footprints in the Sand? He looks back and he sees two sets of footprints. And then he sees in the difficult times one set of footprints. And he says, "Lord, why did you leave me in those difficult times?" And the Lord said, "Oh, I didn't leave you. It was during those times that I carried you." That's really the understanding we need to have. That as long as we turn to God in any difficult time, He's there for us. And if you need to return to faithfulness to God, that He can carry you through the difficult times, then now is your time as we stand and as we sing.